So once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by female slaves who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants, most high of God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that she turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." In that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that her hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities.
They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews, and they are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Great job, you guys.
Let us pray. Lord, you speak to us through your word, through your creation, through your people, sometimes through children, through elders. Sometimes you speak to us in silence. We ask now, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, that you lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. I used to fall asleep sometimes when my pastor would preach at my home church. I really liked him. And he had the most soothing voice. And I was just sitting there really relaxed. I used to lean on my mom's shoulder. She had a really comfortable shoulder and just kind of nod off a little bit. She'd elbow me sometimes when I'd wake up. But his voice was so relaxing and calming. So I'm trying not to have a relaxing voice because I don't want to help you stay awake. I went to church growing up because my mom brought me. Kids can't really always know what's best for them. If it was up to them, they wouldn't brush their teeth and they would eat only candy all of the time. But fortunately, kids have parents and grandparents who see the bigger picture with more experience, and they lead them and help them navigate what's good to put in their ears and in their eyes and help us along our way. Sometimes kids get sent to Bible camp by their parents or youth group or confirmation or church, and they're not always excited about it, but still something good comes out of it. I remember when I was the camp director, when I was the camp counselor before that, talking to my campers at the end of a week of Bible camp, and I'd ask them, what surprised you this week? What surprised you this week? And it was always surprising to me to hear what they had to say. I remember more than one kid say something along these lines. "I came to camp because I liked the girl from Shack Tulik, who I knew was going to be here. But by the third day of camp, she wasn't even talking to me, man. She was talking to another boy from up north. But you know what? This week I really felt God's love. I learned that God loved me. And I experienced that God loves me. And I really like the chapel times. That kind of surprised me. And so the kid came to camp expecting one thing with one set of motivations. But God spoke to the camper. And the kid received the gift of salvation by putting his faith in Jesus, the forgiveness of his sins. In this passage, Paul and Silas are going to preach the good news about Jesus. And they have a surprising partner join them in sharing the message that they have the gift of salvation. It was a slave. It was a woman who was possessed by a demon. Her owners took advantage of her. They exploited her. We don't know how she got that demon. I remember my grandparents and my parents telling me, don't play around with Ouija boards. Don't play with tarot cards. Don't get too curious about that stuff. Because it might, if you crack open the door might swing open. And some things might come into your life that aren't good. Seek the Lord. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Maybe it started with a crack, but the door swung open. And she had a demon. And people came to her to ask about their future. The demon would give them information. They would give her money. She didn't keep the money. It went to the slave owners. When Jesus came and started his ministry, in Luke chapter 4, he quoted Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." There's a theme running throughout Scripture in the Old Testament to the New Testament of God setting people free from bondage. In the Old Testament, the whole book of Exodus is about God's people who are slaves in Egypt being set free. First they end up go to the wilderness, and then they end up in the Promised Land. But Jesus casts out demons. He frees people from their sin, and he frees us from our sin. He frees us from the consequences of sin, which is death, separation from God and from one another. He sets us free with the power of his blood and his mercy. Surprising grace. Whatever sin you have in your life that you don't want other people to see or know about, God sees it. God is aware, and he loves you still. He completely knows you, and he completely accepts you. He completely loves you. And there isn't anybody in the world who, if they could see everything that ever happened in your heart and everything that happened in your head, who would love you and accept you like that. But your Maker does. Not only that, but whatever your motivations are, good, bad, or a mix, God will work in your life if you open the door to him just a crack. I remember seeing workers come up to Bible camp when we used to do some of the work that Brad does now and Cammy does now. And we would get material for a project, maybe to build a cabin or an outhouse. And there'd be a couple guys, and One would look at the pile of lumber and say, I can't work with this. This is not going to work. We're going to need to send this back and get different material. These 2x4s are all crooked. This one's missing part of its edge, and I can't make a square and true outhouse with this kind of material. Had to explain to him, man, we don't have a Home Depot in Happy Valley. We don't have a Lowe's by the point. You can't just bring the material back and go get straight 2x4s. That's not how it works here. Those guys were not very helpful. But then there's also some guys who had totally different attitude. Said, man, I can make this work. We can straighten up this board. We'll just bend it before we put the screws in, the nails in. And oh yeah, there are some broken pieces, there's some scraps, but you know, we can put this together. If we don't have what we need here, we'll go to the dump and improvise. Local trick, right? I've done that a few times. You know, we can piece things together. And the very best carpenters, man, they can work with what they're given. And they can take crooked material and make it true. Make a really nice outhouse, or cabin, or bunk bed. Jesus was a carpenter, a good carpenter. Jesus can take crooked wood and make a beautiful finished product. That's what he does with us. Paul wasn't at his best here. You know why he cast the demon out of that girl, out of that woman? Did anybody notice in the text? He was bugged. Yeah. He was annoyed. It wasn't that she was a slave. It wasn't that she just had a demon in her. God would want to free slaves. God would want to cast out demons. That was Jesus' ministry. Paul, he was bugged because she kept joining his ministry team. He was following them around. She was following them around, saying, these men are the slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation. You know, the word in Greek for slave and servant is the same. Most translations say servants of the Most High God. The word is doulos. She served those men. Paul and Silas served the Most High God. He was kind of bugged with her joining the ministry team, a demon-possessed slave. So he cast out the demon. He said to her, I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. He didn't ask God to send the demon out. He just spoke with the authority that's given to us who have the spirit of the living Christ in us. Just speak to a demon in the name of Jesus by his power and cast it out. I just remember someone telling me it's hard to look up here when this light's on. We come to church sometimes. We come to a variety of ministries with opportunities to serve. And some of us are kind of like those kids who come to camp. We veer towards the things that are fun or enjoyable. We don't usually sign up for things that aren't enjoyable. And only God sees Only God sees the inner workings of our hearts. Some of us get real bugged with kids, man. I don't want to work with children. But God can still use you, even if your heart isn't all the way there. God still used Paul to set this woman free, even though his heart wasn't in the right place. We don't have to be completely mature believers for God to use us to set people free. Because the Holy Spirit has an agenda that is bigger than our motivation. It is very rare for people to be aware of the depth of their own sin, because we look at our sin and we always compare to other people. We say, well, that person, they're worse than me, so I'm pretty good. Most people will never admit that they're not kind. There's certain types of sin we're okay with admitting, man, I'm struggling with this addiction or this thing. But most of us don't admit very quickly that we're pretty selfish, or that we can be unkind, or that sometimes we don't help when we know we should, or we see someone that needs help. There's been times where someone will come and ask for something again and again, for food or for money, and we give it to them not because we want to help them necessarily, but because we want them to stop asking and go away. Fine, you know, take it. Don't come back for a while. Right? That's what I think of Paul in this situation. You know, kind of quiet this demon, you know. Just get out of her. Not really having God's view of loving her as his child made in his image. We don't see the redemption of the men who have him beaten. The slave owners, they probably thought they were pretty good guys. They probably justified in their own heads what they were doing was okay, to tolerate their own sin. But the scripture says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And when you love something that much, when you love money that much, you're willing to make money off of somebody even if you know it's hurting them. And we know people who do that. Some of us do that sometimes. We don't make good choices with our money because we love money. So as we look at this text this morning, I want to just encourage you that you may be like Paul. You may gravitate towards just the desires of your earthly nature. And God can still use you. But we need to continually bring our desires and our hearts before the Lord. Because the day is coming when the light will shine on everything that we've ever done or thought or said. God will see everything that we do and lay it out before us. He'll show it to us, and we'll give an account to our Savior. And when that time comes, we'll receive God's mercy if we put our faith in Christ. And we'll see just how much it cost him. We don't realize how much we owe God or how much he had to suffer for us. We don't taste the weight of the gravity of our sin. But God sees it, and God knows. And when we see, then we'll know. And we'll regret. And I wish wish I would have done more for the Lord while I was in the land of the living, but we receive his grace the same. I think of someone who I really trust or respect, my grandparents, some mentors. And when I do things that I'm really not proud of, when I'm short with my wife or my kids, or I work too much or not enough, or I spend money in a way that I shouldn't, or time in a way that I shouldn't, I don't want the people who I respect the most to see that. Because I just want to show them the best side of me. And yet God, he sees it all. And it's easy to forget that. When I was in high school, I started to go on a few dates with girls, my mom and dad had a conversation with me. And they said, "Don't do anything that you wouldn't do if we were there." I really was bugged when they said that. Or your grandparents were there. Or her parents were there. Because God is there. Treat her with respect. Treat her in a way that's pleasing to God. That advice served me well. I want to close with sharing a song with you by a woman named Sarah Groves. I think it's going to work. And it's called When the Saints. And this is a song about people who are Christians stepping out in faith, working for freedom for others. Talking about wanting to be among the saints when Christ returns, joining the legacy of faithful Christians who've gone before us, who worked on the Underground Railroad to free people from slavery in this country, missionaries who were killed bringing the message of the gospel to a tribe in the Amazon, the end of a spear, there's a movie about it, Paul and Silas being beaten with rods for helping this woman. Even though they didn't help her with good motives, man, they still paid a price for it. But I want to close with sharing this song with you. It's playing through YouTube, so, oh man, it worked. All right. Lord Jesus, following you is not boring. You take us places that we would never go without you. As we trust in you, as we follow you, you allow us to be a part of your mission in the world to set captives free, literally, and also free from the power of sin, free from the power of the demons that bother us. God, you give freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be faithful as you are faithful in working to help others, and that you'd continue to transform our hearts to love as you love, to accept others as you accept them, and as you accept us, despite all of our failings and sin. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for calling us to be with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.